At the core of not listening to God's word is a lack of faith in the Lord. We don't believe he can take care of the difficulties in front of us, so we don't listen to the word to say, stop worrying. We don't believe that he's going to turn it for good, so we fret and worry. Whatever it might be, we don't believe the word.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we conclude our look at a marvelous chapter of Scripture.
Yes, Dave, we do, and that chapter is Nehemiah chapter 9. So let's get right to our study. Turn with us to Nehemiah chapter 9.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
And thou hast fulfilled thy promise, for thou art righteous. Here we start. You made a covenant with him, and you did it. You fulfilled your promise. You were faithful to your promises because you're righteous. God is faithful to his promises because he is righteous. He is just. He is faithful. You fulfilled your promise. And then notice, thou didst see the affliction, verse 9, of our fathers in Egypt, and thou didst hear their cry by the Red Sea. Then thou didst perform signs and wonders against Pharaoh and against the servants and all the people of his land. For thou didst know that they acted arrogantly towards them, that would be the Jews, and thou didst make a name for thyself as it is this day. Don't forget, they're praying and they're talking to the Lord, by the way, when I'm reading this. They're saying, you did this, Lord, you did this, Lord. And it says here, and thou didst divide the sea before them. So they passed through the midst of the sea on dry ground. And their pursuers thou didst hurl into the depths of the sea like a stone into raging waters. Now, we're not going to go into Exodus and read through the whole Exodus. You can read that and you can see the original account. But it's being summarized here in the context of God's faithfulness. And then notice verse 12, how God was gracious to lead them and give them his word. And with a pillar of cloud, thou didst lead them by day, and a pillar of fire by night to light the way for them in the way which they were to go. You could see that in Exodus 13, 21 and 22. And then look at verse 13. Then thou didst come down from Mount Sinai and didst speak with them from heaven. Thou didst give them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. God gave them his good word. He gave them his good commandments. He gave them so that thou dost make known the holy Sabbath, thou dost lay down for them commandments, statutes, and law through thy servant Moses. Brought forth the law, that law which points and reveals that we're sinful, but reveals in shadow the sacrifices which would come forth and point to Jesus Christ, our Savior, who would atone for our sins, who would die for our sins and atone through the cross. So here, God, you did this. You brought them out of Egypt. You did this. You provided for them. You gave them your word. What more could they need? They were being led. And guess what? They could have gone into the land. They could have obeyed the Lord and gone into the land. But notice what happens. Verse 16, but our fathers acted arrogantly. What's arrogance? Arrogance is a form of pride, thinking you know better, thinking that you know better. You know better that this is a better plan than what God says. We do that when we disobey God's word. We think we know better. They acted arrogantly, and they became stubborn and what? Would not listen to thy commandments. We have God's word that we are to live in a certain way towards one another, and we can reject that. We have God's word on how we're to serve the Lord, and we can set it aside, and we cannot listen. We have God's word how we are to be in the world, and we can set it aside and not listen. And they did it. They set aside God's word. They acted arrogantly. This is a key. They would not listen. That's going to be throughout this. It's not that they didn't hear it. It's that they wouldn't listen. You know, when you're talking to a child, you're saying, listen to me. You want them to actually hear and do what you're saying, right? You want them to listen to it, right? They became stubborn and wouldn't listen. It's not a good thing. And we can be that way too, and we are that way at times. Not continually habitually like the Israelites for 40 years, but we can be that way. We need to learn from this. God says, like I've shared before, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, right? But I worry and I set it aside and not listening.
I'm going to worry about something. I'm going to worry about this situation rather than trusting the Lord. God says, do not lean on your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. But I lean on my understanding. So I put aside and listen. It can become hardened and stubborn. We don't want to be that way. Yet we do it in little bits here and there. We do. But God wants to root those areas out. But here they were continually, habitually, as we will see, unwilling to listen. And they died out in the wilderness, as we'll see, because they didn't have faith. Hebrews chapter 4. They refused to listen. Look at verse 17. They refused to listen. They did not remember thy wondrous deeds which thou hast performed among them. Wow. The Red Sea, Pharaoh getting all that stuff chasing and his whole army getting swallowed up. They didn't remember all the deeds in Egypt against the nation and Pharaoh and all that. They didn't remember. Now, that parallels the fact that we don't remember God's wondrous deeds towards us. We've been saved from our sins. We are such wretches and we forget what God has done for us. They didn't remember. And then he says, so they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. Wow. Turn to Numbers 14. I just want to take a little brief. I said I wasn't going to go through all the Old Testament passages, but I want to look at this one for a second because it helps us understand the root of not listening to God's word. It helps us understand the root of stubbornness. Numbers 14. And this is hard when you are in a position, you know, where you're leading people in the Lord. It's hard to read these things and it's hard to see what Moses went through. It's hard to see it. Numbers 14. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, would that we have died. You know, they have those kids' cartoons, Bible cartoons, and they emphasize the whininess of the people doing it. Well, you know, would that we have died in the land of Egypt, or that we had died in the wilderness. And why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives, our little ones, will become plunder. Would it not be better to return to Egypt? They're sinking horizontally completely. This, and they're not believing in the Lord, as we'll see. So they said to one another, let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt. That's what we're talking about in our passage. But look down a little farther, Numbers 14:11. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people spurn me? How long will they not, what? Believe in me. Okay, that's the core. Despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst. At the core of not listening to God's word is a lack of faith in the Lord. We don't believe he can take care of the difficulties in front of us, so we don't listen to the word to say, stop worrying. We don't believe that he's going to turn it for good, so we fret and worry. Whatever it might be, we don't believe the word. We're not believing in him in this moment. And God wants to help us. So that we will, and we will not be like this. These things have been written for us, on whom the end of the ages have come, that we would not crave evil things. And so here, notice there's a contrast in light of their wickedness. Verse 17, back in Nehemiah 9, but thou art a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and thou didst not forsake them. Hey, that's where our heart needs to be when we're confessing. Yeah, we messed up, but you're gracious, you're kind, you're merciful, you're forgiving. We see that you didn't forsake him. He didn't forsake his people, even in the midst of that. And the tremendous character of God in spite of their sin. Forgiveness, gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. What a tremendous God we have in spite of their sin and our sin. Right? Tremendous God. You didn't forsake them. He'll never leave us to forsake us either. So they're praying. They're praying to the Lord concerning his wonderful character and faithfulness. And notice, in spite of God's faithfulness and gracious character, Israel's wickedness increased. Look at verse 18. Even when they made for themselves a calf of molten metal. You can read about that. And said, this is your God who brought you out of Egypt. Wow, we have a patient God. God brought them out through signs and wonders, and they make a calf out of metal, and they say, this is the God that did it. Wow. God's patient. He's very patient. And committed great blasphemies. Thou in thy great compassion did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud did not leave them by day to guide them on their way, nor the pillar of fire by night to lead them on the way which they were to go. He didn't abandon them. Even in spite of that, God did not forsake them in the wilderness, in spite of the golden calf and the blasphemy of that. And notice what he gave to them in the wilderness. Verse 20. And thou didst give thy good spirit to instruct them. If you want to have an understanding of the Spirit of God in the Old Testament, you could start some of these verses here.
He gave thy good spirit to instruct them. That's the spiritual side. Thy manna thou didst not withhold from their mouth. He fed them, and thou didst give them water in their thirst, right? He gave them what they needed physically and spiritually, what they needed. Indeed, for 40 years thou didst provide for them in the wilderness. They were not in want. Their clothes did not wear out. Their feet did not swell. Wow, he took care of their physical needs and their spiritual needs, although they rejected him. What does he mean by giving the Spirit? Did he give them the Spirit in some general sense? Well, look down at verse 30. Look down at verse 30 because this helps us understand what he's talking about. He's going to talk about this in the context of being in the land, but I think it's the same thing as we'll say. 9 verse 30. However, thou dost bear with them for many years and admonish them by thy Spirit through the prophets, yet they would not give ear. God gave his word through his prophets. He gave his word through them. He gave his Spirit to them, and he gave the word for them. He gave them what they needed spiritually. And then look at it. It begins to talk about how he gave them, how he fulfilled the promises to Abraham. Back in chapter 9, verse 22. Thou didst also give them kingdoms and peoples, and thou did allot to them a boundary. And they took possession of the land of Sihon and the king of Heshbon and the land of Og and the king of Bashan. This speaks of the Amorites who weren't kind to Israelites, and then the Israelites, God gave them over to them, right? They took them over. The Israelites took over the Ammonites. And then Bashan, which God gave to the Jews. We see this in Numbers 21, 21 through 35. Those were those outlying areas, right? You know, and then we see that he also fulfilled his promise by multiplying them and bringing them into the land. And that's what this next section is about. Verse 23, and thou didst make their sons numerous as the stars of heaven. You know, when you recount what God has done, recount it accurately. They're recounting it accurately. God fulfilled his promise. He made them as the stars of heaven. Remember, he told Abraham, go out, look at the stars, right? You know, and basically promised him that his seed would be that much. And then here he says, thou dost bring them into the land which thou hast told their fathers to enter and possess. So the sons entered and possessed the land. That next generation, because the other generation died out, right? In the wilderness because of their sin. And thou didst subdue before the inhabitants of the land of the Canaanites. Thou didst give them into their hand with their kings and the peoples of the land to do with them as they desired. And they captured fortified cities and a fertile land. They took possession of the houses full of every good thing, hewn cisterns, vineyards, olive groves, fruit trees in abundance, so that they ate, were filled, and grew fat. And they reveled in thy great goodness. They were in the land, and they were benefiting by God's great goodness. He had brought them in faithfully. But notice, but they became disobedient and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs, and killed thy prophets who had admonished them so that they might return to thee, and they committed great blasphemies. It's always about you've walked away from the Lord, or you're not following the Lord, or you don't know the Lord, return to him, right? And they admonished him. They killed the prophets, and they rebelled while they were in the land. But notice verse 27, what did God do? Therefore thou didst deliver them into the hand of their oppressors who oppressed them. But when they cried to thee in the time of distress, you see this really vividly in Judges, but you see it all throughout their history. Thou didst hear from heaven, and according to thy great compassion, thou didst give them deliverers who delivered them from the hand of their oppressors. God was gracious over and over. When they reject the Lord, consequences come. They cry out, ah, and he delivered them, right? But notice, this is really sad. This is a summary of their history and their ongoing sinfulness in light of his faithfulness. Verse 28, but as soon as they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore thou didst abandon them in the hand of their enemies, so that they ruled over them. When they cried out to thee, thou didst hear from heaven, and many times thou didst rescue them according to thy compassion. Over and over again, they did evil. They cried out. God rescued them because he's compassionate. And they're recounting God's faithfulness in light of Israel's sin, their father's sin. And it's important. They're not just giving a list of what the fathers have done. The counselor says, you need to go back in your past and the past generations and figure out what the sins of your families are and then confess them. No, that's not what we're talking about here. We're seeing how that affected them now in terms of Israel as a nation in which they were part of Israel as a nation. And so we see here that during that time, he was compassionate, but he admonished them, verse 29, and admonished them in order to turn them back to thy law. He admonished them, yet they acted arrogantly and did not listen to thy commandments, but sinned against thine ordinances, by which a man observes he shall live. And they turned a stubborn shoulder and stiffened their neck and would not listen. I have in my notes, don't do that. They turned a stubborn heart and neck, stiffened neck, and they would not listen. And yet God was patient year after year to admonish them with his prophets. We see that. Verse 30, however, thou didst bear with them many years and admonish them by thy spirit through the prophets, yet they would not give ear. Therefore thou didst give them into the hand of the peoples of the lands. He's going to say, now, this is their exile. This is the reality that God gave them into the peoples. The northern kingdom to Assyria, the southern kingdom to Babylon, to be exiled, to be captives. We see that. Nevertheless, verse 31, in thy great compassion thou did not make an end of them or forsake them, for thou art a gracious and compassionate God. And by the way, if you have a theology that says Israel's out, you better read the Old Testament, you know, because God is very compassionate. He is faithful to his promises. He will do what he says. And we see that exemplified in their Old Testament history. The Lord God bore with Israel many years, admonished them through his spirit by the prophets, yet they wouldn't listen and they were given over to exile. Yet in God's compassion and grace, he did not destroy them or forsake them. So we've seen the Levites praying with everyone who had been confessing their sins and the sins of their fathers. Now, why would they do that when they weren't the generations that sinned? Well, we need to recognize something very important. First of all, we need to recognize and recount God's faithfulness and his graciousness and his character. We need to see that and recount that and understand that. And secondly, we need to give a full accounting to God of what's happened. And for Israel, this is part of that full accounting. This is why they were being oppressed by the Persians, as we'll see in a moment. This is why, because of their nation's sin all the way up to this point. And they, as we'll see, have entered into that sin by yoking with the foreigners and by also not obeying God's word, as we'll see. So then, in light of all this, we need to give a full accounting. We need to confess. We need to give a full accounting. And then notice. And now, we got to be careful. When we give a full accounting, it could be a pity party sorry session, right? Lord, I'm so bad. I'm so bad. La, 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 la. And that's all about me and what I did. And all of a sudden, it's just a speech about me. This is not a speech only about Israel. This is a speech, a truth about what God and his faithfulness was demonstrated in spite of their sin. But notice, now here we come to the petition beginning, verse 32. Now therefore, our God, the great and mighty, the awesome God, who does keep covenant and loving kindness. That's who you are. You're faithful to your word. And by the way, they still had promises to be in the land and to be blessed in that land if they trusted him, if they obeyed him. They were promised to be blessed in the covenant, in the old covenant. Do not let all the hardship seem insignificant before thee. The word insignificant means small. Don't let all the hardship that we're experiencing under the hand, as we'll see in a moment, of the Persians, they're enslaved. Do not let that seem insignificant. All the hardship. And notice here, they're acknowledging their current sin also. However, verse 33, thou art just in all that has come upon us, for thou hast dealt faithfully. Behold, we have acted wickedly. We did too. You're just. And everything that happened to them and everything that happened to us, it is just. For our kings, our leaders, our priests, our fathers have not kept thy law or paid attention to thy commandments and thine ordinances, which thou hast admonished them. But they in their own kingdom with thy great goodness, which thou hast given them with the broad and rich land that is set before them, did not serve thee or turn from their evil deeds. The reality that when they were in God's good land, they didn't serve the Lord. And they didn't turn from their evil deeds. So then, he says, behold, we are slaves, they say, to the Lord, as slaves today, and as to this land which thou didst give our fathers to eat of its fruit and bounty, behold, we are slaves in it. Here's what's going on, Lord. we are suffering, and it's because of our father's sin. We know that. It's because of our sin. We know that. We know it. We're confessing it. He says, "In his abundant produce is for the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sins." That's just acknowledging. Acknowledge your sin fully. Don't give excuses. "They also rule over our bodies and over our cattle as they please. So we are in great distress." You know, it's okay to come to the Lord in repentance and ask for relief, to ask for relief from the consequences. When you're truly, truly wanting to follow him and obey him, when you're truly admitting your sin, truly admitting it. And then notice verse 38. "Now, because of all this," what is all this? It's everything I just read. "Because of all the sins of their fathers that brought them to the place where they are in their own sin. Now, because of all this, we are making an agreement in writing. And on the sealed document are the names of our leaders, our Levites, and our priests." Now, when we go to chapter 10, we're going to see what that is. We're going to see who signed it. We're going to see that it's a commitment to obey the Lord from the right heart. From the right heart. It's not saying we're going to do this so this happened. They're going to do it because of their sin and how wickedly they were. Now, therefore, because of the consequences, your just consequences, you're not forsaking us still, we're going to obey you. So then, what can we learn from this? Well, the Lord wants a full accounting. Get to the root. Get the weeds out. Get it all the way out. And there'll be more later, but get out what's there now. When you're truly repentant, you're going to give a full accounting. You're going to acknowledge you deserve the consequences. There's going to be acknowledgement of God's graciousness, compassion, justice, and his faithfulness. And there's going to be fruit. And that fruit will be initially a desire to obey his word, a desire to be obedient. "Lord, I haven't obeyed you in terms of these relationships. I haven't obeyed you in my attitude. I haven't done this. I'm experiencing the consequences from it. Lord, forgive me. And my desire is to obey you now. My desire is to do your will. Help me do so. Help me do so. I haven't obeyed you at work. I haven't trusted you in school. Lord, help me do so now. Lord, I planned everything on my own. I did it on my own understanding. I sinned, Lord God, and here I am. Lord, forgive me, and I want to obey you now. I want to trust you." There needs to be a changed heart. So then, how does God build up and rebuild the spiritual walls and broken doors in the lives of his people, those whom the Lord is their God? Well, first of all, we see that genuine repentance will manifest in a humble acknowledgement of sin and separation from it. We're going to be broken up. We're going to acknowledge it. Secondly, we're going to desire to hear his word and worship him more. And lastly, we're going to have a sense of coming before him in praise and contrition and petition and a desire to obey.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Wow, Greg, this is the real deal. These Jews were truly repentant.
Yes, Dave, and along with that, they were on their way to having their spiritual walls restored. Well, how about you? Are your spiritual walls broken down and in need of restoration? If so, you need to get to the bottom of how you got there and tell the Lord, this is why. And then we need to stop saying this happened or that happened. We just need to take responsibility for why we're where we're at, because of our sin, and ask for God's forgiveness. And it is from here that he will work mightily on you.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.